Church, it's such an honor to be here to be the guest speaker as Pastor and Ainsley are away in Oregon with their family. So just so honored to be here. I have a message that I've been working on for a while, and during the process of working on this message was when Jim and I found out we were transitioning, so how appropriate for me to be preaching to myself. So here we go. How many of you have things in your past that you wish you could just erase or do over? I know for me, there's so much when I look back, and I know that we're not supposed to, you know, dwell on regrets, but just in preparation, I was thinking, gosh, if I could do a do-over, I'd probably go back to high school and not be so boy crazy. Instead, I'd be involved more in the extracurricular activities because I went to a really awesome high school. And if I could go back to when our marriage was younger and our kids were little and Jim had more energy, I would probably say, let's go hiking just a little bit more, because now when I try and take him, it's hard because we're not at the same place. There is a big age gap between us. yeah, this is second service, so. And if I could go back even further to when I was a child, I would definitely be more obedient and sweet to my parents, because they were doing nothing but being the most awesome parents in the whole world. And I was such a stinker. So that's something that I would do over. Then there's the friend who I had who died way too early. I wish I had told him not to ride that motorcycle, especially since he didn't have his license. I wish I could go back and say that, because he ended up crashing and dying. Or I wish that I had been able to somehow prevent another friend from riding on a 6-person plane that crashed in the Rockies. He had been going to speak at a full gospel businessman's meeting, and he never made it back. And somehow I wish that I could have said, would you just take a different means of transportation? It's crazy how some things that we really don't have any control over haunt us, as if it's our own fault, and we could have been the one to have prevented it from happening. Kids do that when their parents get divorced. Parents do that when their rebellious kids go off and do something stupid that affects their lives for years to come. Teachers even do that when they have students who are not achieving their potential. We all play the self-blame game as if we have ultimate control over the destinies of everyone around us. It's ridiculous, isn't it? It almost sounds like a plot against us by someone who hates us. The text I've chosen today is written by the Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians. Before we read the verse, let's talk about Paul. That name wasn't the one his parents gave him. Before he became that famous man of God who wrote most of the New Testament, he was a man named Saul from the city of Tarsus, who was a Christian persecuting, Jesus-bashing, whitewashed tomb of a Pharisee, who assisted when Stephen, one of the early church believers, was stoned to death. If anybody had things to regret from his past, I'd say Paul was clearly one at the top of that list. And some of you might not know what a Pharisee is. So what is a Pharisee? I'm glad you asked. A sect of Jewish people who were extremely judgmental and legalistic. They went through the motions of acts of worship in order to be admired by others. They were the ultimate posers. One day when Saul/Paul was on the road to Damascus to continue his dastardly deeds of persecuting Christians, we read in Acts 9:3 that suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, what the heck? What are you doing? Why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you? Are you Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, who you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and it will be told what you must do. The story goes on that Paul met with a believer named Ananias who prayed over him, baptized him, and helped him become part of the community of believers in Damascus. We never hear of Paul lamenting over the regrets he has of his past. Instead, he wrote in his letter to the Philippians, one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The word forgetting is epilenthonomy in the Greek, and it means given over to oblivion, to lose out of mind, neglecting and no longer caring for the accusative, with the accusative. In other words, no longer allowing your past to rear up and make you feel guilty. It goes hand in hand with letting go of the past and reaching forward to the future with hope. In the Old Testament, when Lot's family was running from the destruction that God was going to do in Sodom and Gomorrah, one thing the Lord said is, don't look back. Don't look towards the city. And as the family was fleeing for their lives, Lot's wife turned to look back at what was happening. Instantly, scriptures say she was turned into a pillar of salt. It's a crazy story, but it really happened. And it so vividly illustrates what happens to us when we dwell on our past, when it's full of abuse, sinful addictions, failures of ourselves or others towards us. It causes us to freeze like a pillar of salt. It prevents us from getting ahead and moving forward into a future full of hope. Hope Chapel, if we are to succeed in life, we must very deliberately forget and very deliberately press on, like Paul exhorts us to do. So what are we to forget? The first thing, our past sins. If we've truly repented, confessed, and forsaken them, then we must forget them. Proverbs 28:13 promises that if we confess and forsake our transgressions, long word for sin, we will find compassion. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Psalms 103:12 very descriptively says that as far as the east is from the west to infinity and beyond, that's how far God removes our sins from us. All we have to do is say sorry. Sure, it's good to learn from our mistakes. However, don't put some heavy trip on yourself that the Lord doesn't put on you. Don't believe Satan's lie that what you've done is just not going to be forgiven. Jesus took your punishment and all of our punishments. The debt has been paid. So say sorry, thank you, and move on. Another thing to forget, our past failures. If we are constantly dwelling on what we did wrong or should have done better, we're not able to focus on what needs to happen right now. Again, learn from those failures and use them to help you succeed now. In 1927, Babe Ruth made 60 home runs. However, what we do not remember him for is the 89 times that he struck out that season. Or what about another famous person who started out wrong in life? When he was just a baby, he was put up for adoption by his biological parents. And when he was a teenager, he got into a college, but dropped out 6 months later. For a year and a half after that, he had to sleep on the floor of his friends' rooms and return Coke bottles just to buy food to eat. And when he was in his 20s, he started a company that later went successful, but then he was fired. His name is Steve Jobs. As you know how things later turned out, despite all the past mistakes he had and against all odds, he moved on and started things anew. He went on to start a company named Next and another one named Pixar and met an amazing woman who later became his wife. Pixar eventually became the renowned animation studio that produced classics like Toy Story, WALL-E, and Up. Next was later bought by the company he was fired from, returning him to the first company he founded, Apple, and he became its famous CEO for the rest of his life. With Apple, he introduced many successful, innovative, and technologically advanced products, such as iPod, iPhone, and iPad. His success propelled him to be hailed as a legendary visionary and a master of innovation. He was still the same person that was adopted, dropped out of college, and fired from the company he founded. But the thing is, he didn't let those stop him. Instead, it motivated him to push past them. Like Steve Jobs, we might have many past mistakes in our life, mistakes that still affect us today, that make us afraid to move on. But from the story, we learn that being chained to our past mistakes will bring us nothing positive. The more you sulk in your mistakes, the more depressed you will be. You know, when we make a mistake, we often forget that we still have many possibilities and things to do in the future. That failure, it won't change it. Jobs said, "I was a very public failure, and I even thought about running away from the valley. But something slowly began to dawn on me. I still loved what I did. The turn of events at Apple had not changed that one bit. I had been rejected, but I was still in love, and so I decided to start over." Like Steve, wipe that big L off your forehead and move forward. Focus on the victories. Thank the Lord for them. If you're not experiencing victory in your life, begin with the basics. Thank the Lord that you're breathing in oxygen. If you've ever been around someone who's having trouble breathing, like my father-in-law, who had to be on oxygen 24/7 just to keep from getting a heart attack, you begin to appreciate the fact that we can inhale big gulps of fresh air and feel energy. Being grateful for those little things really helps get you off the failure merry-go-round. We must also forget our past successes. We can't camp out in the old glory days. That can stunt our ability to move forward in the present. Anybody remember the movie Napoleon Dynamite? Remember Uncle Rico, who was a football star in high school? He was living in a trailer next to the house, basically a bum with no vision for his life. Check out this clip.
Back in 82, I used to be able to throw a pigskin a quarter mile.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. Watch this.
What are you doing?
That's what I'm talking about.
I better go.
How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over them mountains? Yeah, if coach would have put me in fourth quarter, we'd have been state champions, no doubt. No doubt in my mind. You better believe things would have been different. I'd have gone pro. A heartbeat. I'd be making millions of dollars and living in a big old mansion somewhere. You know, soaking it up in a hot tub with my soulmate. Kip, I reckon you know a lot about cyberspace. You ever come across anything time travel?
Easy. I've already looked into it for myself.
Right on. Right on.
It's so important to celebrate your victories, but don't allow yourself to camp out there. In every season, let the Lord use your talents for His glory. God's miraculous provision and His favor that allows us to experience success is something to be celebrated for sure. However, lest we become too prideful, we need to acknowledge that, yep, we might have put in the hard work, but it's the Lord who enables us to excel. He provided us with the muscles and the brains to accomplish great things. Proverbs 27:2 says, "Let another man praise you, not your own mouth, a stranger, and not your own lips." And I'll just leave that one there. Another thing to forget, past pleasures. The children of Israel failed this one big time. When they were in the wilderness, free from Egypt's tyranny, they whined because they missed the abundance of food and water, which they had while they were slaves. God was miraculously providing for them in the wilderness, and they still whined. We're like that, too. Our memories often are seen through rose-colored glasses. We refer to the good old days, but Ecclesiastes 7:10 says, "Don't long for the good old days." This is not wise. Is it wrong to enjoy pleasurable things? No, of course not. The Lord loves to bless us. It's problematic, though, when we start to feel entitled to those good things and we don't recognize the favor that we're walking in currently. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." We sing a song about the attitude we should maintain no matter what circumstance we're in. It's called the Desert Song. No matter whether we're going through good times or awful times, I will bring praise. All of my life, in every season, you are still God. I have a reason to sing. I have a reason to worship. Henry Blackaby, in his book, The Seasons of Life, How the Shifting Patterns of Your Life Reveal His Purposes for You, says about the seasons, "The problem is that we cannot get the most out of life if we hold on to a season past its expiration date. In trying to do so, we deprive ourselves of the freshness and the wonder of the new season awaiting us. The way to live the most fulfilling life possible is to squeeze every ounce of life out of each season in turn, to continually grow in purpose, passion, and perspective, and then to boldly move on to the next season when it comes." And I am preaching to myself right now. As we launch Jesus House in just a couple of months, both you that go and we that stay will need to adjust to a new season. Let's be healthy about it and enjoy the adventure as we watch the Lord do a new thing. Another thing to forget, our past unhappy experiences. I know from personal experience that's way easier said than done. Jim and I have experienced some huge losses in our 32 years of marriage. We've lost what we considered to be a fortune during the housing downturn. We've walked away from several businesses that failed miserably. We can make all kinds of excuses up why we weren't to blame for their failure. However, the bottom line was they were not successful in the end. We've lost loved ones who've gone on to be with the Lord, and we've lost our reputation when we've been misrepresented by other people. We've lost our jobs due to others' bad choices or even evil intent, and we've lost good friends who were not interested in reconciling. We've had to go through a lot of introspection, contending for our healing through counseling and prayer. And we've had to humble ourselves before the Holy Spirit so that he can do a healing work in our hearts. The bottom line is that there is no amount of thinking back on the should've, would've, could've's that have helped. Sure, justice would have been wonderful at the time. However, coming to a place where you can rest in the fact that God has got our backs is really a great place to arrive at. Romans 12:19 tells us, "Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, 'I will take revenge. I will pay them back,' says the Lord." Going along with that verse, we come to number six, the final one. We must forget the sins and failures of others. Matthew 6:14-15 has some strong words to say about forgiveness. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. So, who are we to forgive? Well, perhaps it's a spouse that's cheated on you or even mistreated you. What about that parent who was totally immature when they had you and didn't take good care of you? They might have even been abusive towards you, or they still might be abusive. Forgive. How about that person who stole something from you? It could have been an item you owned, or it could have been more personal. Perhaps it was your heart. Matthew 6 doesn't give a list of exceptions of people who were so evil that we don't have to forgive them. Nope, it just says forgive. I recently battled with this issue. It's very humiliating to confess it before my congregation, but I didn't realize how deep the root of bitterness can grow in your heart when you allow forgiveness to take root. I hated somebody. Nobody here. I hated her with a passion, and she had done my husband wrong. As a result, Jim had lost his job. It devastated us financially. But more than that, I allowed it to begin to percolate inside of me, growing unrighteous fruit in my heart. What I didn't want to admit was that I was really mad at God for allowing that kind of loss to happen to us. We were, after all, tithers, givers beyond the 10% even. I felt entitled to walk in God's favor. And what the Lord showed me was that I didn't have to have all the answers or even have a sense of justice being served in order to trust him. I could choose the path of joy, even while struggling with deep pain. I could surrender that pain of betrayal over to him. After all, he too knew what it felt like to be unjustly accused and lose everything, including his own life. In the Old Testament, there is a book entitled Job. It's about a poor guy who loses everything. Satan kills his children, causes his animals to die, and even destroys his health until he is just plain miserable. Through it all, Job refuses to curse God. He doesn't understand why the Lord is allowing all that to happen to him. However, he makes a statement of faith in Job 19:25. As for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will take his stand on the earth. The word Redeemer is Jael, which is the one who buys back or exacts revenge on behalf of a family member. We become children of God when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and we then, as part of his family, come under his Jael protection. If you are in the middle of something incredibly difficult right now, hold on. Do not despair. Declare that you know that your Redeemer lives, and one day he will come and save you. By the way, at the end of Job, it becomes like a reverse country music song. He gets his health back, he has more children, and God restores his fortune so that Job has double of what he lost. The key is not to allow the haters, the thieves, the two-timers to get the best of you. Shake it off, like the Taylor Swift song says. I was, after all, the young adults pastor. Going back to the original text in Philippians 3, Paul tells us not to forget what lies behind and reach forward. He tells us to forget what lies behind and reach forward to what is to come. That's where the promises of God come into play. I'll leave you with my favorite one, Proverbs 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in a future. This scripture is for you who are struggling with a challenging medical condition, for you who are still grieving the loss of loved ones, for you who have screwed up big time and been stuck in an addiction and yet are attempting to put your life back in order. For you parents who did the best you could raising your kids, but you still feel it wasn't enough. For you who have, like Paul, had a wrong perspective on life, but now you realize the truth. Hope Chapel, in order to move into the destiny that God has called you to, be willing to let go of the past. No matter if things were unfair or so painful that you thought you would never be able to breathe again, allow the Lord to heal you of those past wounds. He can and he wants to. Go ahead and join me in worship with the Lord.
This is my prayer in the desert, when all that's within me feels dry. This is my prayer in my hunger and need. My God is the God who provides. All stand together. And this is my prayer in the fire, in a weakness or trial. There is a faith proof to work than gold, so if I'm below through the flame, and I will bring praise, I will bring praise. No weapon formed against me shall remain, and I will rejoice, and I will declare that God is my victory. All of my life, did in every season, you are still God, and I have a reason to sing, and I have a reason to worship.
Sing it all my life.
All of my life, did in every season, you are still God, and I say, I have a reason to worship
all my life.
And all of my life, did in every season, you are still God, and I have a reason to say, yes, I have a reason to worship.
Was reminding us shortly after he promises in Isaiah 43 that he will not abandon us if we're walking through the flames. He'll be with us. If we're walking in water that's over our heads, we won't drown. He'll be with us. If we're in the desert, he reminds the Israelites of this. He says, he who made a pathway through the sea and a path through mighty waters says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. So that's our job. We have to forget and not dwell, as Pastor Lori has so encouraged us this morning. This is what he will do for us. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. And then he reminded me of something first service as well, because I think sometimes we can try our hardest to forget, but we still have regret. And from the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 25, I believe he wants to speak this over some of us today, probably all of us, that he will restore the years that the locusts have eaten. The years that these things have taken off of our lives, he's going to restore those years. And I don't know anyone who can do that except our God can give us back years to our life. And so we're going to pray right now, and we're going to pray in several ways together. So would you join me? Well, Lord God, we do. We don't want to hold on anymore. We don't want to stay in a place that isn't healthy anymore. We want to see the new thing that you're doing, and we want to hold on to your promise that you will restore years even to our lives. But Lord, in order to do that, we know we need to be right with you, because all of the things Pastor Lori has spoken of, our regrets, our failures, the mistakes and sins of others, even our own sins, all the things that have affected us, Lord, Jesus, when you were on the cross, you were actually taking all those on yourself, and then you were replacing them with life. And so this morning, if there is anyone here who has not yet received that free gift of salvation, I'm going to ask you, with all of our eyes closed yet, if you would raise your hand and let me know that we're going to pray that today. We're going to lay that at the cross, our sins, and we're going to ask him to come into our hearts together this day. So go ahead and raise your hand if that is you, or even if that is you online. Go ahead and raise your hand. The Lord knows. Let's pray. Dear Lord, forgive me for my sins. I thank you for dying on the cross for me and giving me life. I ask you to help me to live for you until the day that I see you face to face, Jesus, because I love you. In Jesus' name. Amen. And I want to continue to pray with all of us right now. Lord, we commit to forgetting. We'll forget. We'll do our part. We won't dwell anymore. Would you help us to see the new thing that you're doing? Would you help us to perceive it starting today? Lord, we love you and we want so much to live for you, but to do that, we know we need to be free of those things. So do that, we pray, and we're open to it. Make us a new creation this day, in Jesus' name. And I believe he wants me to pray this over you, my brothers and sisters, today. When we're talking about our foundation, when we take things out, we ought to make sure we put the right things back in, right? And I believe this word is for all of us today. So for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant each one of you, my brothers and sisters, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in your inner person, that Christ may dwell in your hearts today through faith, that you, and here it is, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen and amen. If you would like to have prayer, if there's anything you want to make sure you leave here today, because we all want to leave here lighter, right? Then I'll ask our altar prayer warriors to come forward at this time. Make sure you do not leave here today with anything that you weren't meant to leave here with. Let's leave it behind and go enjoy the new thing he's doing. In Jesus' name, the Lord bless you. Have a wonderful week.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.